a great distance to be with us. And we've said so often before in meetings in this area that our buildings ought to be overflowing. There ought to be people who would have to open these windows. And remember that, some of us a little bit older? People standing in the windows, standing around the walls to hear the gospel. And sometimes they were denominational folks that had come because we had been to their services maybe the week before. And so they responded by coming to hear the gospel. And many of them obeyed the gospel when they heard the truth. That's what the old country store was all about. Go sit on the counter and eat our cheese and crackers and drink our RC Coca-Colas and study with the neighbors. My granddad was one of those people. People who used to take their Bibles out in the field with their buttermilk and their cornbread that they'd put it, the creek, put the buttermilk in the creek so it'd be a little bit cool. They'd study it. They were a people of the book. And we want to talk to you about a subject tonight that we need to be a people of the book about. This great passage that's written here, sometimes we just read through it, but there's so much in it, in this passage, as we're going to be talking about the AD 70 doctrine. Did you all know that before you came? Brother Brad Phillips is here. First-hand evidence of its making a rising in the area, in the Indianapolis area. Just preached a couple of weeks ago, Sunday morning and Sunday evening, about this doctrine from the Word of God. Didn't preach this lesson exactly, but it had to deal with it. There are those who believe, as we shall see, that the second coming of Christ is already past. And I ask the question, did it already occur? Shake your head this way. Okay? No, it didn't. That's right. It sure hadn't. And so we want to look at this false doctrine and to show you what the Bible has to say about false doctrine. Is it wrong to condemn? Some of our own brethren are afraid to talk about false teachers and false doctrine. Oh, shame on you. You can win, get more flies with honey than vinegar? And somebody responded, if we were in the fly-catching business, that's true. But we're after souls, aren't we? And so we can't preach just sweetness all the time, can we? We need to preach the whole counsel of God. And not just to tickle the ears of the hearers. The Bible gives us several passages that we'll not take the time to deal with. But Jesus said, beware of false prophets. You ever? I had a paper out when I was in first and second grade. And sign on the fence said, beware of dog. Guess where I didn't go? I folded their paper and threw it as far as I could. I'm not going in that. Beware. Beware means that, doesn't it? On an electrical box, it says beware. Anybody want to see what's inside? Cracker Jacks? No. Beware means that, doesn't it? In chapter 7, later on, verse 21 through 23, not everyone saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He said, they're going to tell you, oh, I've done many wonderful works in your name, all this. But verse 23 says, I'm going to tell them to depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What does iniquity mean? It means they're an outlaw, doesn't it? They're working with outlaw. Billy the Kid was an outlaw. Jesse James was an outlaw. And anybody who doesn't teach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is an outlaw. Amen. And depart. And it doesn't mean just for a few minutes or go to your room till you can behave yourself. No, it is forever. It is forever. In Matthew chapter 15, you can read that yourself. Jesus exposed the false teachers. Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, 19 through 21, that the false teacher doesn't like to be exposed. He doesn't like the light to be shined on him. That's why they do their deeds in the darkness. Oh, warning after warning about the false teacher. Matthew chapter 23. When I was a little boy, I used to think there was three groups here. Those scribes, those Pharisees, and that third group, the hypocrites. Jesus was looking eyeball to eyeball at the scribes and the Pharisees who were the hypocrites. And some 7 or 8 times in about 5 minutes, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." You know, I may call you a hypocrite and not be able to prove it, but he proved it. Read Matthew 23. You know that's the truth, don't you? Paul did in Romans chapter 16. He said, "Have nothing to do with these false teachers. They cause division. God hates division." Read Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. One of the seven things that God hates. 2 Timothy chapter 2 we'll deal with in just a little bit. Hymenaeus and Philetus, who taught that the resurrection was already past. John in 1 John 4, 1 says, "But believe not every spirit, but try." What's that mean? Test them. Okay, you test, see whether they're teaching the truth. What do you test them with? Right here. My math teachers and history teachers always tested me by their book. Okay? We talked about Judy and I getting our driver's license the other day. You know what they tested us by? By the book. And that's what we expected. So false teachers are warned, and we are warned about false teachers. James, or Jude in verse 3 says, "Earnestly contend for the faith." Somebody says, "What faith are you?" Well, there's only one, isn't there? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Read Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. One is one less than two and one more than zero. That's pretty narrow, isn't it? That's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? I think so too. False doctrines are easily refuted. We'll just list a few here. Sprinkling, what's the Bible say? Buried. When I die, you want to sprinkle a little dirt on me? I don't think so. No, we want a truckload, don't we? And 6 feet under, yes. Buried with him in baptism. Therefore, we are buried with him, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4, that like as Christ was rose from the dead, that we're going to do the same thing, buried with him. Then others who say baptism is not essential, Acts 2:38, and others, 22:16, Mark 16 and verse 16, Galatians 3:26 and 27, 1 Peter 3:21, and the list is on and on. I'd hate to be on the other side trying to prove baptism is not essential. Once saved, always saved. Just one of many passages, Acts chapter 8, where Simon, in verse 13, became a Christian. And then I've had denominational people say, "Well, he wasn't really a Christian." Oh, yes, he was, just like those in verse 12. Simon also did what they did in verse 12 when they believed and were baptized. He sinned, and Peter told him to repent. Others say that everybody's going to be saved. Jesus said, "Not so. Enter ye in at the straight gate," Matthew 7:13. "Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14, "Enter the straight gate." Why? He said, "Straight is the gate, straight is the way, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." Few, not everybody. Not everybody's going to go to heaven. One denominational preacher told my brother, he said, "You've got more people going to hell than you do heaven. Well, you're in good hands, aren't you? That's what Jesus said. More people are going to go to hell than to heaven. And like we said here at the bottom of the chart, if you can see it over here, I don't know, might have to see it through faith. But you don't have to cut all the limbs off a tree after you cut it down to kill it, do you? When you expose it, it's over. It's wrong. False. What in the world is this AD 70 doctrine? Well, their major point is, as we said earlier, that the second coming, that the judgment and the resurrection occurred in AD 70. Is that when Jesus came? It's not a new doctrine. I'll just list a few of the old books. You go back to the late 1800s, the early 1900s. It was talked about previous to this. I wish we had time to kind of look at those, but we need to move on. If the AD 70 doctrine is true, if Jesus has already come, you're deceived. We're the false teachers. We're believing something that is false. But, there will not be a future resurrection of the dead. If what they say is the truth. But what if it's false? What if that doctrine is false? Those who believe it have erred. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 22:29 to the Sadducees? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. He said, "Ye do err. You are wrong." not knowing the scriptures. Can we tell people that today? Yes, you can. Oh, Brother Hafley, there you go, driving people off again. Well, Jesus didn't know any better than that, did he? Ye do err. You don't know the scriptures, do you? Shame on you for talking like that. No. When you get sweeter than Jesus, you've become a little too sweet, haven't you? Sweeter than the apostles. He said, you err, and we are guilty of overthrowing the faith of others. Just as Hymenaeus and Philetus, who said the resurrection is already past. If that doctrine is so, they are wrong, isn't they? And it's not a matter of opinion. One fellow said not too long ago, he said, I don't teach it, but he does. He does. But he said, I just think it's a matter of opinion. He'd get you alone at his table or your kitchen table, he'd try to force it down your throat. And it's beginning to happen in the air. Oh, what need have we of this lesson? You want it to come here and be unaware? You shake your head this way with that question. It is also known as realized eschatology. I said, what? Had to look these words up. That's a good thing to do. Keep a dictionary by your study table. Realized means it's accomplished. It's already happened. It sounds pretty impressive. Realized eschatology. Woo-wee. Boy, he must be a scientist or something. Using big language like that. 26-cylinder words. Two words. Eschatology comes from. First of all, eschatos. A guy said, I know a little Greek. He said he's about this tall. Eschatos, the first word. Eschatology means last or final. And then logos, which Jesus has called the logos, the word, is the word or study. So when we put them together, it is the study of last things, the study of the second coming, the judgment. According to the AD 70 advocates, again, I want to repeat this because some of this may be new to you. And like I said the other day, I have to hear something 5 or 9 times before it latches on somewhere in this empty head here. The second coming, they say, resurrection, all prophecy fulfilled, all, and the judgment was in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed. We want to show you that's false. We have no authority to teach that Jesus is yet to come if the AD 70 doctrine is so they say. Max King, the proponent of this doctrine, though he took it from his father-in-law, C.D. Beagle, over in West Virginia, well, actually in Ohio, near Youngstown, he said, listen, there is no scriptural basis for extending the second coming of Christ beyond the fall of Judaism. In his book, The Spirit of Prophecy, which I have in my library, and it's about this thick of a book, whew, it's bad as Mormonism. He says also the end of the Jewish world was the second coming of Christ. Then he says on page 65, prophecy found its complete fulfillment in the second coming and now may be regarded as closed and consummated, done, finished. Well, we want to compare this teaching with the Word of God. King takes the literal passages and tries to make them figurative, or as he says, he spiritualizes them, trying to impress people with his spiritual knowledge. He says, if you don't believe what he does, then you're carnally minded, you're worldly minded. He ignores the context completely, which false teachers do. And you get so frustrated and aggravated when he does such things. You have to have Max King's help to misunderstand the clear and easy to be understood passages. Oh, you don't understand it like he does, so you're wrong. No, he's the one that does err, doesn't he? Who could read? Have you been reading your Bible all this time, all your life, even if you're a teenager? And you thought, well, yeah, sure, the Bible taught that Jesus came in AD 70. Who doesn't know that? Did you come up with that? Was that song said, that country song? Me neither. No. No, I didn't either. I can't read that Jesus already came. Well, Christ's coming upon the Jews in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27, one of the verses they go to try to prove that Jesus came. his second coming. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I don't have this passage. I wish I did. Go to the book of Matthew in chapter 23 and verse 37. Jesus is talking about the city of Jerusalem, and he's come in judgment upon them. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Matthew 23 and verse 37. Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The context here in this reading and throughout the first half of Matthew chapter 24 is the city of Jerusalem. Okay? So Jesus is going to come like God came in judgment on the cities of in the Old Testament that the prophets prophesied. He said, I'm going to come. And he did in judgment against these wicked cities. This coming, as we said in Matthew 24, was against Jerusalem. And he wasn't talking about the whole world. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. If he'd have said, oh, you whole world, then you might have something to say about it. Signs were given. He said, women, that you're not pregnant when this happens, when this coming in judgment happens. Is he talking about the second coming? I hope I'm not pregnant. Or pray that it's not in the winter when he comes. What? Pray that it's not on the Sabbath when he comes. No, he's talking about the city of Jerusalem going to be destroyed. Women pregnant are going to have a hard time getting away, or with infants as well. So signs were given. You read this chapter and you'll see the warning signs that he gave to his people. Christ's second coming in chapter 24 and verse 36, no signs were given. Look at this. But of that day, the second coming, but of that day, verse 36, and hour knoweth man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He gave signs when the coming of the destruction of Jerusalem was going to be, but when Jesus comes again, there's not going to be, people say, oh, I know he's coming. I heard that from my neighbors when I was about 6 or 7 years old. They scared me to death. My folks were studying with them in their living room, and they say the signs of the times, the wars, the rumors and wars, and the earthquakes, and all the volcanoes, and all that's going on, we just know he's coming. That was 65 years ago. Still hadn't happened. But they knew it was coming soon. No. Jesus said, no man knows. When somebody starts telling you they know when he's coming, you just know that they don't know. The angels don't know, but his Father only. No warnings given of the second coming. Look here at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2. Can you read this and understand it? Is this over your head? For yourselves know perfectly. Paul said, you know perfectly. What? That the day of the Lord so cometh as a what? Thief in the night. You show me a thief that gives a warning, and I'll show you that's in jail. Won't you? You have a little note on your door when you go home, I'm coming tomorrow night. Well, we're going to be ready, aren't we? And if the Lord had said, I'm telling you when I'm coming, well, sure. But we don't know. Nobody knows. Jesus said, and I'd rather take it from his mouth. Christ's coming in second in Matthew 25, verse 31. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in all in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then, when he does, with all his holy angels, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Is that over your head? And he shall separate them one as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. Let me ask you, did this happen? Matthew 24? All the angels, all nations, were they all gathered there? I think you see the answer, don't you? The AD 70 advocates say Matthew 25 deals only with people living at that time. But you have to have them tell you that for you to know that. You can't read that chapter and get that out of it, can you? All right, let's turn. We've said to see 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's see what it says, verses 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Did that happen at the destruction of Jerusalem? Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just chase a rabbit here with me. People say you don't have to do anything to be saved. Jesus did it all. What does obey mean? Mean you don't have to do something? Your parents, kids tell you to do something, make your bed? I don't have to do that. Is that going to turn out with you? Well with you? Children, obey your parents and the Lord. He says that it might be well with thee. When you don't obey, things don't go well. If you don't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired by all them that believe. And read this last three words. In that day. Has that day come? No. Easy, isn't it? Did this happen? Reading 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Is that what happened? In the destruction? Matthew chapter 12, 41. He says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Were those nations present in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed? Were they all raised? Were they all the nations of the world gathered together? Were Tyre and Sidon? Jesus said they would be there in the judgment. Were they there? Was Sodom? Remember what happened in the book of Genesis to Sodom? Were they at the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70? Remember Jesus said, before him shall be gathered all nations. If the second coming was in AD 70, then that's what happened. But it didn't happen, did it? You see the proof? We're cutting down the tree and cutting some limbs off as well. Heaven and earth will pass away at the judgment, not just Jerusalem. That's what happened in AD 70. Jerusalem was destroyed, not heaven and earth. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come, here it is again, as a what? Thief in the night. In the which, what's going to happen in that day, in that night? The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Our Jehovah's Witness friends tell us that the new heavens and the new earth is this earth is going to be refurbished. If you've lost your hair, Craig, we're going to get it back. If you lost your teeth, you're going to get it. If you got wrinkles, you're going to lose them. You know, we gain things we don't want to gain. We lose things we don't want to lose, don't we? So just, they say, just wait till the Lord comes to this new heaven, new earth. You talk about a messed up world. Did this happen in AD 70? Is this what occurred? We're still here, aren't we? John 14, 1 through 3, you know this passage. Jesus had told his apostles, I'm going to leave you. Did you ever have a dear friend tell you, well, I'm going to have to go, I'm going to have to leave? No. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he said, I go, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will, what? Come again and receive you unto myself. When he comes again, what's going to happen? That where I am, there you might be also. Did that happen in AD 70? Did it? I come again is in reference to his first coming. If I've never been somewhere, I can't say, well, I'm coming again. Well, you've never been here. I've never been to Hawaii. Can I say, well, I'm coming again? No. Jesus said, I am coming again. That where I am, there you might be. Where's he? Where'd he go? I go to prepare a place for you. On earth? No, in heaven. The first coming was literal, and so will his second. Scriptural objections to the AD 70 doctrine, what we read earlier in Acts chapter 1. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So as he went in the clouds, he's going to return in the clouds. Did he do that? He has not returned in like manner, has he? No, with all of his holy angels, not in flaming fire. No, that did not happen yet, did it? 1 Thessalonians 4, let's read it. For the Lord himself, the angels told the apostles, Acts 1, you saw him go, this same Jesus is going to come. That the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Some people say it's going to be a silent coming. He's going to sneak in and rapture the saved out. Shh, don't tell anybody. And I've noticed when I've read their articles that it's the quarterback on the football team, so pray you're the quarterback. Okay? Or the center fielder on the baseball team. They look out there, well, where'd Willie go? He gone. He said, with a shout, with the voice of with the trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, the dead in Christ, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Did you notice this? And so shall we what? Ever be with the Lord. Isn't that awesome? We're not coming back here. Our Jehovah's Witness friends notwithstanding. We're not going to come back here. Did this happen in AD 70? Is this what occurred? With a shout? With the trump? Were the righteous dead all raised in and the righteous living all changed in AD 70? If that's so, there wasn't a single Christian left. He took them all. That's what's going to happen on the day of judgment. None of the righteous are going to be left here. So if that happened in AD 70, there wasn't a Christian left. See that? Revelation 1 verse 7, behold, he cometh with the clouds. Isn't that what we've been hearing? I said I have to hear something over and over. And get it? He left in the clouds. He's coming in the clouds. Behold, he cometh with the clouds. The Bible is consistent, isn't it? Every eye shall see him. Remember Acts 1:11? What did he say? Did this happen in AD 70? Every eye see him at the destruction of Jerusalem, because it wasn't the whole world, was it? Every nation wasn't there, was it? 2 Peter 3 and verse 5. For this, there were scoffers who said, he promised to come and he hasn't to come. Did you ever make a promise? I'll be there. Well, I've done that. And, oh, after it's over, oh, forgot all about it. Sometimes it's a supper appointment. And you know me, I don't forget those. They said, he promised to come, he hasn't come, nothing's changed. He said, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Things did change, whereby the world that then was being overflowed perished. They said nothing has changed. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, that we're sitting and standing on, The heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, held together, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That happened? That happened? Max King spiritualizes water and fire in that passage. But you wouldn't know to do that unless he tells you. See? 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come, what do we say? As a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now verse 11. Seeing then, you see that? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, destroyed, annihilated, even the smallest element, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy manner of life, conversation, and godliness? Since everything we know, these beautiful trees, the birds, and again my Jehovah's Witnesses friend saying, oh, God took so much time to create all of this, he's not going to destroy it like that. You know how many days it took? But God just could have spoken and it'd been done. He didn't need a second to do this. That's how powerful he is. Sometimes in the image of man, create we God. Well, we couldn't do that. How should we be living since everything we know is going to be destroyed? Lord willing, on Thursday evening, we're going to talk about evidences, internal and external evidences, a lesson of faith building. But that's Thursday night. So how should we be? What kind of persons ought we ought to be looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Is that over your head? Brother Hafel, I can't get that. Oh, yes, you can. You got it. When Jesus comes again, everything's going to be destroyed. Did that happen in A.D. 70? He said, well, we look for that new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, where is this new heaven and new earth? Well, Peter tells us that Jesus is going to prepare us a place to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in where? On earth? In heaven for you. See? If I had a genius IQ, and if that's what it took to understand this book, but it doesn't, does it? I realized that a long time ago. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery. Sherlock Holmes books are a mystery until you what? Whereby when you read. Oh, now we know. The butler did it. Yeah. But you didn't know that until what? Until you read it. Okay? Incorruptible. Undefiled. That fadeth not away. Wow. Everything we know fades. These beautiful leaves, what they're already fading. Remember when the crocus raise their pretty little heads out of the snow sometime. Oh, spring is on its way. It's come. It'll do it again if the Lord wills. But what'll happen to them? They'll die. They'll fade away. Not here. Not this eternal abode. I like being happy, don't you? How about being happy all the time? The devil makes sure we're not, doesn't he? But there we will be, and that forever. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. And he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, heaven, there you might be also. Because this earth's not going to be here. You won't come back here? You're going to have a long fall, aren't you? There's nothing going to be here. King, the old law was done away. Old law was done away. Says the old law was in effect until A.D. 70. After A.D. 70. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Hebrews 8:13. In that he saith a new covenant, quoting Jeremiah 31. A new covenant he hath made the first old. Do you know when the first covenant got old? When he said there's going to be a new one. It began to fade away. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Paul uses Jeremiah 31:31 there, that the old law was already old and was vanishing away. They say the Old Testament is still in effect, as we said, until the destruction of Jerusalem. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. That happened before A.D. 70. Hebrews was written before A.D. 70. But King says, no, the old law was still in effect until A.D. 70. I'd rather believe the inspired writer, hadn't you? For the priesthood being changed, there is made also a necessity, a change also of the law. You have to have Mr. King's help to understand his false doctrine. The old law wasn't in effect. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know about that, don't you? If he doesn't die on the cross, we don't have a sacrifice. We have no hope. For he is our peace who hath made both one, that is Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh, his death, the enmity, or that which divided us. What did he take out of the way? Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He took the old law away. He did that before A.D. 70, didn't he? Isn't that simple? Doesn't sound like the old law was still in effect in A.D. 70, was it? See, that's not over your head, is it? Colossians 2, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Long before A.D. 70, wasn't it? Long before. Past tense. Not will take, but took it out of the way. Again, before A.D. 70. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Not will be done away, but is done away. It's done. You want to defend that doctrine? Have at it. But you'll be wrong, like Max King. Is done away. Not as going to be in A.D. 70. Couple more charts. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for their sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See what that says? Max King says sin's not taken away until A.D. 70. See, he has to tell you that. You can't read your Bible and say, oh, yeah, I knew that. No, you didn't. You wouldn't know anything about this A.D. 70 doctrine unless he tells you about it. Does Acts 22:16 say, arise and be baptized, and your sins shall be washed away in A.D. 70? Or at the destruction of Jerusalem? Does it say that? Anyone? That'd be a perversion, wouldn't it? What do you think about a pervert? Somebody say, oh, he's a pervert. Ugh. Yeah, me too. How ought we to feel about a gospel pervert? Though we or an angel from heaven preach a doctrine unto you than that which you have received, let him what? Be accursed. You want God to be mad at you? You know what? I never had to ask my parents, Mom, are you mad? You know what? I know God's mad at me when I pervert his gospel. That's serious business, isn't it? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I don't want the wrath of God. Verse 9 of Galatians chapter 1. Said, if any man, Paul said, if an angel or an apostle preach any other gospel, then he says in verse 9, if any man, who's that include? John? James? Brad? Anybody? Yes, it includes me. Any man. Does the Bible say this? A.D. 70 is when the sins were washed away? I can't find it either. One of the most jarring practical demonstrations of the ramifications of this doctrine is connected with the Lord's Supper. What did he say? For as often as you what? Eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I ask him, why are you partaking of the Lord's Supper? And you know the answer I got? Well, we do it for a different reason. And you find that where? Till he come. Has he come? Then we sin every Lord's Day. If he's already come, that was to end. See that? That's not over your head, is it? You can remember 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Till he come. Oh, there's so much more. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim his death till he come. But on the basis that the Lord has already come in AD 70, some brethren have stopped. They're consistent. Have stopped taking of the Lord's Supper. If Jesus already come, and 1 Corinthians 11, 26 is true, and it is. But if he's already come, then they should stop. See that? I think that you do. The spiritualization of these passages that he says, that if you don't believe like he does, you're fleshly minded. You're not spiritually minded at all. This is what the Calvinists do to John 3 and verse 5. Except you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom. And the water doesn't mean water there. In John 3 and verse 5. Born of water and the Spirit. Well, somebody asked a long time ago, if Jesus had meant literal water, what would he have said? Except you'd be born of water. I mean the stuff you drink and that you bathe in that's H2O. Well, is that what he had to say? No. We understand without Max King's help or anybody else's, we don't have to spiritualize. We understand John 3 and verse 5. To get into this kingdom, it is by the water and the Spirit. And the Spirit's part is the word that he gave us. He guided us into all truth, didn't he? Yes, he did. What does it mean? Whatever they want it to mean. But they can't believe the pure, unadulterated gospel of Christ. According to the Calvinist plan of salvation, water can't mean water. But you know that it does. And you don't have to have Max King's help to understand the second coming of Christ, do you? You don't have to have a Calvinist's help to understand the plan of salvation because you can read it right here. Can't you? I'm living proof that you can understand it when you read it. But we're not a nation of readers anymore, are we? Few people read. And if they are reading, it's not this book. I've seen libraries filled with Westerns, shelf after shelf, whatever topic they like, nothing of the Bible. Nothing. Shame on us. When Jesus said we must be born again of water and the Spirit, did he mean that? Did the apostles misunderstand him? Did Peter say the wrong thing in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when in verse 37 those thousands of Jews said, what shall we do? How do you think they asked that? How would you have asked that question? Well, what shall we do? They knew they were in the hands of God in judgment and were lost. You ever, what are we going to do? Maybe an athletic contest? We're getting killed? What are we going to do? Peter had an answer. And as I said the other night, what? How simple. If I had killed the Son of God, I had been screaming at the top of my lungs to grave. And I had been of the ones with his face covered to punch his face or to drive the nails in his hands and feet. And I ask, what can I do to be forgiven? And the man responds, repent and be baptized. Remember the song that said, is that all there is? For God to forgive me, that's all. Well, one lady told my brother, so I'm not getting dunked for anybody. Mm-mm. He said he felt like stepping away Remember what happened to Korah and Dathan and Abiram? The book of Numbers. The earth opened up. Remember what happened to Nahum, Leviticus chapter 10? You don't mess around with God. Yeah, but that's not what I've always been taught. It doesn't matter, does it? If it's in here, it's what you should be taught. It's what you should believe. Can I prove he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Can I take my index finger in this book right here and show you where the Son of God said it, the very one that some people claim to love? Oh, I love his word. No, you don't. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Luke 6:46. John 14:15 and 15:14. You're my friends if you keep my commandments. What are you if you don't? You're friends if you do, then you're enemies if you don't. Plain and simple, isn't it? Just like this doctrine we've preached partially about tonight. It's not so. It's false. Be ready. Be prepared. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer. You can do it. What do we say? Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word what? Have I what? Hid in my what? This thing here? Your blood? No, your heart. Here's the Bible heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know the rules of the road. And you got them right here. Read them, heed them, and obey. Just like Revelation 3, or 1 and verse 3 says. If you haven't obeyed the gospel by being baptized into Christ, you believe that he is your Savior. He's the one that died for you. And so you could live with him in eternity. Won't you respond to his commands by being born again of water and the Spirit right now, Eric, while we stand, while we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus.